There is a cigar manufacturer by the name of Artista, A-R-T-I-S-T-A. Nobody knows Artista. And I don't understand how that's possible, because we have been raving about the Midnight series that they do. We've been raving about the Buffalo 10, which pound for pound for the dollar is the best cigar out there. And when I say for the dollar, it's like $7 a stick. You want to talk about a cigar that you can keep by the bundle and just have to hand out, have for the yard work, have for the golf course, as Fingers Malloy would use. That is amongst the best out there. But Artista, this small, I mean, they've got a huge outfit, but they're little known. Also does the Big Poppy. That's the David Ortiz cigar. And this year, they've come out with the Hall of Fame by David Ortiz. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz, and that right there is America's favorite amateur drinker, Fingers Malloy, the Hall of Fame by David Ortiz. This, they call it a Toro, 54x6, which means it's 6 inches long.
Tee-hee.
Always makes Fingers Malloy laugh. And the ring gauge is a 54, diameter of the cigar, or how thick it is around.
Tee-hee.
Again, with the laughter. Your tee-hees seem a little off today.
It's a little bigger cigar.
Yeah, should just leave it there.
Describe a nub.
A nub?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's 4 inches long.
He always laughs at the size of the cigar.
I can't believe you haven't picked up on this in 5 years.
Yeah, but usually in the Toro size, you're a little more. That's about right. Yeah. That's about right.
Yeah.
If it's a Churchill, I get a tee. That's what we get there. 541 boxes of this Hall of Fame, because that's how many home runs David Ortiz hit with the Boston Red Sox. Now, they also have a Figurado that's going to be coming out, which I think is interesting. When I tell you that one of their new releases called the Falu, F-A-L-U, is wonderful, believe me. The Midnight series is terrific. I cannot say enough good things about that Buffalo 10. Don't get me wrong, it's a bit monotone, but it's a perfect monotone.
At that, and you mentioned the golf course aspect, as far as, you know, it's a box press. So it's great for the golf course at that price point. It's fantastic. If you happen to drop it, you're not going to be brokenhearted. But also, if you've got family coming in and they want a cigar, but they aren't everyday cigar smokers, it's an inexpensive cigar, but doesn't have the cheap cigar taste to it.
Oh, no. Absolutely wonderful. This is unique. Mexican San Andreas. They're a little kind of secretive about the binder and the filler. So it's Mexican San Andreas in the wrapper. They refer to it as a sweet Indonesian binder, but they don't say what the filler is. They just say as powerful as Ortiz's career. Now, we just lit this up. First things first, it's got a little bit of heft to it.
Yeah, it does.
Second things second, that wrapper has a nice bit of oil and is bumpy. I'm not talking about like sandpaper bumpy. Just you can feel the leaf, you can feel the contours. It is almost in a sense octagonal in just how many ways it kind of moves around. But it's a nice feeling, like you rolled it yourself kind of stick.
Yeah, and the band does have a baseball-esque kind of theme to it. And here's what's unusual. I know when you lit the cigar, you had a reaction, and I don't know if it was, did you get a lot of pepper right away?
I got a spice right away.
It's amazing, because you've talked about this a lot on the show. It depends on what you ate that day, what you drank that day. I got a creamy sweetness. I haven't gotten any kind of spice or pepper yet on this.
What?
I know. And when on a retrohale, I mean, I'm almost getting like a perfume fragrance out of this. It's really strange.
First of all, that you have been able to get better at the retrohale so quickly. You've been practicing, haven't you? That is impressive. Look at you.
Thank you.
I'm going to try it.
Oh, he's going
in. I'm going to try it right now. Hold on. Here we go.
Yeah, he's going in, ladies and gentlemen. He's doing what we like to call the Rochester Rachel.
No, I didn't do it.
No.
I can't do it. I can't do the retrohale. The retrohale is moving the smoke through the sinuses. So on the exhale, you kind of put your tongue to the roof of your mouth and then you move it through the nose. And what you're doing is the nose has so many more receptors for flavors. And, you know, remember, smell, you smell something, you think of a memory, like it's really intense. And you get a different kind of look at the cigar.
I know why this may be easier for me than it is for you. Were you ever a cigarette smoker?
Never a day in my life.
See, I've had a few cigarettes in my day.
Is that right?
Yeah. So, you know, maybe it's that is making it a little easier for me. But I quit. And, you know, I'm glad that it's just the cigars now.
So you want to take the cigar and you want to break it down into thirds. Get out your notebook. What did you eat today? What did you drink today? We have had in Indianapolis, Indiana, some of the most unbelievable, insane weather. Like, they predicted rain, they predicted storms and this and that. And it has been 70 to 80 degrees with a little bit of breeze and no humidity. It has been unbelievable weather.
And we've needed it too. We've needed some high winds actually to dry things out, because there were days last week where roads were completely closed because of flooding.
Yeah, Indy gets weird amounts of flooding. So get the notebook out, because weather absolutely affects your palate. What did you eat? What did you drink today? What is the weather like? Then the cigar in your mind's eye, first third, second third, and final third, and write down the flavors. Write down what it is you're experiencing. When you try that cigar a month from now, 2 months from now, 6 months from now, you go back to your notes, compare, and that's kind of like your through line. That's what you really got from the cigar. Now, the sweetness that you're talking about on this is the Hall of Fame by David Ortiz from Artista Cigars, A-R-T-I-S-T-A, artistacigars.com. I'm having a hard time with that. You know, it's weird that this is a Mexican San Andreas, which naturally would bring about some sweetness, but it's not what I'm getting. I am absolutely getting that bigger pepper. It is also a little bit chewy, and I don't mind that. That's a kind of like a fullness of the tobacco. Yeah, and while I don't feel this in my cheek, my tongue is totally, completely and totally enveloped by the flavor, which doesn't happen all the time either.
That's amazing. Yeah, to me, the only thing I'm getting is a little bit of a creamy sweetness.
Well, you're drinking coffee.
Yes, and I'm pounding it too.
And I have a water and a Diet Coke, which absolutely could change a little bit of flavors coming through. It really could. I'll tell you this though, it's smoking beautifully. The draw is wonderful. And it does. It does have a little bit of heft. I don't think I'd call it beefy, Fingers Malloy. Would you go beefy on this?
I would have leaned towards beefy.
And wait, say it.
Beefy.
There it is. There it is.
But it definitely feels good in the hand. It does have good hand feel.
Now the question is, there are only 541 boxes, 10 cigars to a box. Is this in your humidor for $16 a stick?
Well, we're going to have to say the jury's still out on that. We're just in the first third. I mean, we just lit this up 10 minutes ago. So,
and I think we are still jury out on this as well. We're going to have to smoke. We're going to have to figure it out. The Hall of Fame by David Ortiz. Eat, drink, smoke. It is your cigar, bourbon, foodie, extravaganza. I'm Tony Katz. That is Fingers Malloy, smoking from Artista Cigars, the Hall of Fame by David Ortiz. We'll get into what we think of the cigar, but we met up with Ram Rodriguez of Artista Cigars, the guy who makes it happen. And when we were in Vegas for the cigar show, talking about the cigars and the partnership with David Ortiz and building a brand. I am a huge fan of Artista. We first met them at the trade show four years ago. And I will tell you right now, absolutely love Artista Cigars, and have for a while since we first met them at the trade show. And we've had now, this is our third conversation.
Yeah.
At a show, Ram. And he is kind enough to hand me one of the cigars that I think debuted last year at the show. And I said, do you happen to have a lighter on you? Because it's just not in my pocket. He hands me a Bic. On Eat, Drink, Smoke, we rail against utilizing a Bic for flavor issues and a whole sorts of things. And
that's true.
Uniform that's true. Heat.
Yeah.
And you're like, what do you know? I make cigars for the world. You're just a fuck with the radio show. Really? You lit that cigar with this?
well, we blend our cigars using Bic, so we take it into the equation, you know? So
look, but any again, port in a storm.
You know, forget about cigars for now. You know, like, I'm not here for cigars anyways. Let's talk about Bic. First, you can find it anywhere, in any convenience store, anywhere in the world. It's very reliable, and nobody will steal it for you. So, I mean, it's a no-brainer, buddy.
Get yourself a lighter. You don't have to spend a lot of money on a lighter. Get yourself a torch.
That's
How are
true.
You?
That's true.
How yeah. are you?
Very good. Very good. How about yourself?
You know, we're doing great, but I think you're the story right now, a thing we want to talk about. You've redesigned the whole Big Poppy line. People are starting to really understand what it is that you do. This family business that you have, as so many of these things are our family business. And you've got the new the Hall of Fame line going on, which we see right here. Talk to me about this. That is a beautiful looking cigar right there. That is beautiful. What do we got here?
Thank you. So this beautiful cigar, we blended with David. David Ortiz, of course, Boston Red Sox. So we were working with this blend probably 4 months before it actually got announced that he was going to become a member of the Hall of Fame of the MLB. So, you know, after that, of course, we need to name a cigar, the HOF by David Ortiz. It's a great cigar. It's a medium full. A San Andres wrapper from Mexico. The blend has a lot of very special tobaccos, including Cameroon in the fillers, African Cameroon.
The Cameroons in the fillers.
Yes. Very, very interesting cigar. A lot of sweet notes.
How many tobaccos?
A lot of vanilla. It's a blend of three tobaccos in the fillers only. Yes.
In the filler only?
Filler only. Filler, three tobaccos, then we have the binder and the San Andres.
So you got five tobaccos total. Going yes. on in here.
Yes. Very, very good cigar. Very,
so,
very good cigar.
The relationship with David Ortiz, I mean, legend in Boston, certainly a well-known name. You saw him doing World Series coverage. Is how did that celebrity relationship happen?
So we've been involved in his fundraising organization for a long, long time. That's where we realized the potential David has in the cigar industry. In all those fancy parties with all those celebrities, he was always next to the cigar rollers, trying to see how the cigars are made, trying different kinds of tobacco, and just playing around with us. One day I told him, like, hey, David, you should come to the factory and let's blend a cigar together, you know? He was like, hey, yeah, we should definitely do that. I'll let you know when I'm available. I thought it was kind of like an empty promise, but like, 2-3 weeks after that event, I get a call from his assistant, like, hey, David wants to know when are you available? Like, now? You know? So, yeah, we make it happen. After that, we start shipping cigars just for him, his personal cigars. He was getting probably like 100, 200 cigars every couple of months for him and to share with his friends. When he announced his retirement is when he told me, like, hey, like, we should start, you know, making this a brand, and let's start bringing this product to the market. And, you know, it's been a couple of years now. The brand is still there. We are very happy. I was actually talking to him a couple of minutes ago.
Well, we see more and more celebrity moving into cigars. We've seen it in liquor so often, but we saw Chad Ochocinco, Chad Johnson with 85 Cigar. We saw Guy Fieri of Food Network with the guys over at Espinosa. We've made the argument that I think is universally agreed upon. When it comes to liquor, a whiskey or a bourbon, you can put your name on something. It doesn't have to be great, but people will still buy it. You can't get that to happen with a cigar. No one buys a second cigar, no matter who the celebrity is, if the cigar isn't good. To what extent is a guy like David Ortiz taking your lead, or is he somebody, and do you look for people that you partner with who actually want to have a strong say in what gets created?
So, David focused a lot in the branding and in the blend. With the first one, it was, I'll say, 75% him, 25% me on the blend. With the slogan, it was probably like a 50-50 in this one as well. David, his palate is evolving. a lot. He's getting into a lot of new cigars. And that's actually a very interesting thing. I remember the very first event we did with him was in a shop in New England, in New Hampshire, I think it was. And the store owner came to him like, "Hey, David, I want to give you something very special. This is my favorite cigar. I want to share it with you." It was from another brand. For him, he was like, "Okay, thank you." And then he was like, "Hey, like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? Like, he's giving, like, I'm here to sell my cigar. Bring me this." I'm like, "David, you're getting all this wrong, you know?
Right.
Like, that's very meaningful, you
right.
know?
Right. It's a show of love. It's
exactly.
Show of
like, he's showing you love. This is how this industry works." And he started to understand that. And now he's smoking a lot of different cigars. He's developing his palate. And that's something everybody should do, you know? Don't only smoke one cigar. Everybody has a favorite cigar, of yeah. course, but there are, you know, so many, you know, opportunities that are out there that you're missing, you know?
Let's talk about development. When we first met you, you were this young kid just running around the booth, happy as could be. I don't even know if you had the beard then. And look at you now, a man amongst men 3 years later. What has... Well, I went for the joke. I'm not sure. What has evolved for Artista? I mean, you've kind of changed the name a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But what has been the real evolution now dealing with COVID and coming out of COVID?
Yeah, well, before, you know, of all of this, we've always been a very known company among the people in the industry. You know, we still are, you know, big leaf dealers. We grow a lot of tobacco. We resell a lot of the tobacco. And for me, that was kind of it, you know, like this is the industry. When we start, you know, coming here to the show, learning what happens after the cigar is packed and put it in a big container and leave the factory, start to understand, of course, like this is a learning curve that is still ongoing, you know? So that's why we decided like maybe the company logo, the Tabacalera El Artista logo, is not what we need to be out there. You know, we need like more commercial face, you know,
mm-hmm.
less complicated. Come on, Tabacalera. How many people out there can say Tabacalera?
Finger says it all the time. Just randomly.
Yeah.
we'll be having lunch.
Yeah.
And I'll just yell out, Tabacalera.
Tabacalera.
That's okay.
Anyways, so yes, we are evolving. We're learning. Enjoying it at the same time.
Rum, I'm thrilled that we get these chances to talk and to share, and I love the insight into the family, the thought process of how it builds. Can't thank you enough.
No, thank you. But the most important thing, don't forget to give me my lighter back.
Oh, no, the lighter's right there.
Okay.
I wouldn't take that.
Yeah. You see, nobody takes this. It's perfect.
Rum Rodriguez, Artista Cigars, like what they do. What do we think of this Hall of Fame? We will get into that. Find everything we do at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. Is stupidity sexism? I mean, it's a weird question. But if you haven't been following the story of Caitlin Clark from the University of Iowa, who's now going to the WNBA and playing for the Indiana Fever, well, you're one of very, very few people. Caitlin Clark has brought ratings to women's basketball. That doesn't mean women's basketball makes money. It doesn't mean that the WNBA is now going to have some great turnarounds. But you can't deny that more people tuned in to the women's NCAA finals than tuned into the men's. You just really can't deny that that happened. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz. And that is Fingers Malloy. Find everything at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. This is about what took place afterwards. When Caitlin Clark came to Indianapolis, I mean, we live here, Fingers and I. And so we kind of saw this happen. I mean, we got invited to do to the press conference where she was being introduced, just couldn't make it. And while at that press conference, there are all the sports guys, sports reporters from Indy asking questions. And one of the guys who asked the question, Fingers Malloy, is Greg Doyle. Now, you are a guy who follows. You, of course, follow everything out of Detroit and the Detroit Lions, who just didn't have what it took to win the NFC Championship. How are you feeling with that?
Better than a Colts fan today.
Ah, nice. Nice. Hope springs eternal, kitten. You would know. But you read sports guys. And there are some guys who naturally have it and some guys who
you don't know why they're in the industry. That's true, correct?
Yes, that's fair.
So I can't tell you whether or not Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is a guy who has it or not. I'm not good enough to know whether that's true. What I do know is that he's been there for years, and he was one of the people asking questions. And when it got to Caitlin Clark, and you definitely have seen this in your social media feeds, he takes his hands and makes a little heart symbol, because she does that after games to her family. And Caitlin Clark says, you like that? He goes, I like that you're here. And that's exactly the way he says it. I like that you're here. And she says that she does that to her family after every game. And he then says, well, if you do that to me, we'll get along just fine. It was an odd back and forth. And it was odd because Greg Doyle's a grown man and Caitlin Clark is a 22-year-old woman. And people started getting on him hard. And at first he puts out a post on X, hey, I'm a big oaf. He literally used the word oaf. And I certainly didn't mean to offend by it. I'm really sorry about that. I'm awkward. And my heart was in the right place. I'll do better. Do better, Fingers Malloy. How do you feel about do better?
It looks great on a bumper sticker.
Really does. Really does. Well, the hits just keep on coming. And all across the country, sports people are piling on, and it's sexism, and you wouldn't talk this way to a man. And it comes to a point where he writes a column. I'm sorry. I became part of the problem, and I didn't realize, and someone had to point it out to me, and I didn't know why these people were so angry with me. Look at the terrible thing that I've done. I'm so sorry, Caitlin Clark. Now, what had hit me about that headline was that he wrote, I'm part of the problem. On this day, on the day I did this, I became part of the problem. Fingers Malloy, I'm going to ask you a question right now. What problem did he become a part of?
Here's what I don't understand about this whole thing. And I know what he's trying to get at is, there's a lot of misogyny in sports and reporting and things like that. And I want to be part of the solution, but I'm actually part of the problem because he came across. It was a very odd exchange between a man that, I don't know how old Greg is, but I'm guessing he's old enough to at least be Caitlin's father, if not even older than that. So I can understand where in this world we live in 2024, he wants to create that narrative. But at the end of the day, you just have to ask yourself, is that the kind of way you want to talk? Forget about the politics and the way the culture is. Just talking to another human being like that, it just came across as very awkward and odd. I'm amazed at the uproar about this.
Are you?
A little bit. Just because, listen, I don't want to get political here. It just seems to me his explanation would have been okay, and maybe some of this uproar wouldn't have happened if it would have been just one statement, even a video saying, look, I'm sorry, I screwed up. You know what? I'm awkward. I'm an awkward human being, and I shouldn't have talked to her that way. I apologize. Instead of this column, it's a strange column to write, in my opinion.
So first I want to go back to I'm part of the problem. Everybody else asked a question and was fine. You're not part of a problem. You made a mistake. And what men do is owe up to it. And women do that as well. Rational people owe up to it. So in his post and then in the column, he's still like finding a way to kind of make himself the victim.
Yeah.
And it's very, very odd. And I think that's what really got to people. Now, there are some people who just want to scream sexism about everything at all times. And maybe, you know, if he had just said, that was really dumb of me, I apologize. Done. Finished. Don't say you're awkward. No one cares if you're awkward. Awkward's not an excuse.
Well, no, I think it's okay to say that if that's the end of it. You know what? I'm awkward. I handle that poorly. I apologize. That's it. But like you said, the column, it's like, oh, he goes through like the, what is it, the five stages of grief kind of when it comes
to He does. And then there was a segment within the Q&A where a question comes back to him and he's speaking to the coach. I think it's Christy Sides. And he says, speaking of Caitlin Clark, you've been given the keys to that. What are you going to do with it? Referring to Caitlin Clark as that and it. So now you have a pattern. With this, I tell a story that I was once gifted 4 tickets to see a concert. I think it was Elton John. And I was in a suite.
Okay.
Gifted suite tickets. Couple people, worse people I didn't know. I brought a set of friends. I'm at the show. Who comes in? Greg Doyle. And my friends tell the story because they overheard it happening. He was outraged that I was there. You guys know, in addition to this, I do political talk. He must not like my politics. And he was outraged. And I went into the hallway and was talking to somebody about it. Why was I in the room? And this is how my friends say the story ended. He came back into the suite and said, well, if he opens his mouth, I'm going to punch him in the blanking face. That's a true story. To which I was then told the story by my friends. And I said, huh, I'm watching the concert. I'm given free tickets to a show in a suite. And you want me to be angry? I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it at all. So I don't have a history with the guy, but I certainly know who he is, and I know he doesn't like me. He has been through the social media ringer, and I don't take glee in it. I don't want that for anybody because he's probably taking it at work too. He's probably getting it from friends and everything else. I'm very bothered, Fingers, by this idea of I'm part of the problem. You see, I'm just part of something that's a real issue that we all have to come together on. Fingers, you and I don't have to come together with him on this. And neither does any other reporter who was in the room. And that story is not getting talked about. I'm incensed by it. People want to talk about sexism. Would you have said that to a man? Let them have their conversations. I don't want to take it away from them. I might disagree with them, but the idea that you want to scream problem, as opposed to be someone who says, I made a mistake. This is on me and I apologize. I don't know what to do with that. And I think that's why it's become this giant story.
I think the apology is almost as bad, if not worse, than what he actually did.
It's like the expression, it's not the crime, it's the cover-up.
Yes, exactly.
You are right. Fingers Malloy, hitting it once again. Find everything at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. This is Eat Drink Smoke. Green River, which is different, Fingers Malloy, than Moon River.
Oh, I was thinking of the Johnny Cash song. Not Green River. What is it? Deep River? What?
No. While you figure that out, we'll talk bourbon. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz. That is America's favorite amateur drinker, Fingers Malloy. And this right here is the Green River Wheated Bourbon. So Green River is a name that has existed in the world of bourbon, is now part of the whole Bardstown bourbon group. This right here, coming in at 90 proof with no age statement, so it's at least 4 years, according to, you know, just tax regulations. Bourbon is regimented and regulated like nothing else. Go ahead, name the song.
Big River by Johnny Cash.
Right. You thought I meant Big River when I said Moon River, which is a reference to Chevy Chase, but we're talking about Green River, which is the bourbon. We've come back full circle. This 90 proof Fingers Malloy, with a mash bill of 70% corn, 21% wheat, and 9% what they call 6-row barley. Now, wheated bourbons, I mean, when people think wheated, they think Pappy Van Winkle, right? And they think this much smoother kind of approach. You give me 70% corn, I'm expecting something sweet. You give me a good amount of wheat, I'm expecting something that is both sweet and smooth. That's exactly what I would expect from this. But looking at the glass right here, we've got the Glencairn glasses. Looking at this bourbon, Fingers Malloy, that is not a deep, rich bourbon. That's more of a goldish.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. It's a little bit more gold than if they used a 5-row barley, but not as goldish as if they were using a 7-row barley.
You're just the dumbest person. You really are the dumbest person around. The nose on this kind of takes me in the direction that I thought we were going to go, although it's much fruitier.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. I'm not getting much of any oak, maybe a little oak,
right?
But it's mostly fruit.
That's fruity and bready is what we've got here. This is called the Green River Kentucky Straight Wheated Bourbon Whiskey. Yeah, it's orchard-esque, right? So we're not in the citrus. That's not what we get in the nose here. And we've got the Glencairn glasses. You know, it's got the foot, bows out, comes back in. So you can really get your nose in there, really concentrate those flavors. So your nose is full in there, fingers full in.
Yeah, it is. It has to be. It's not very strong on the nose, at least not for me.
If you really get in there deep, you might have a first hit of that ethanol. But it's not, you got to be really, really in there to make that happen. It's a pretty nose. It combines well, it plays well. I don't think I get an oak either. But you really do get that fruit, and it's a touch bready is the way I would do it. But fingers with the way, putting your nose into it just isn't the way to get it done. From Green River. The Green River Wheated Bourbon. Fingers Malloy, are you ready for this?
I've been ready for this all week.
He is going to do what's known as the Kentucky Chew. He takes a sip, moves it around the palate, gets a feel for it. Sometimes you want to take two sips. The first one to set the taste buds, right? You got the initial sting or burn or whatever it is. And then the second sip to really understand flavors. Fingers, what do you got?
It's very nice. It's got a spice to it. There's vanilla, there's caramel. I'm not really getting much oak, but it's got a nice little spicy tingle to it. The tongue, there's really not much of anything other than a little bit of a tingle. A little bit of warmth in the chest, oddly enough, which I wasn't expecting because it's only 90 proof, Tony, but it's very enjoyable. I'm interested to see or hear what you have to say about it.
I'm going in for the Green River Wheated Bourbon, 90 proof. I'm taking my sip, fingers, to your health. To your health. Here we go.
To my health, fingers, Malloy. Tony's going in. He's doing what we like to call the Saginaw Swish.
Ooh. Oh. Ah.
A range of emotion.
It is, because there's a little bit of cinnamon in there.
I was just about to say there's a little bit of a big red.
There's a little bit
at the end
of cinnamon. It does come across sweet, but there's something that crosses the tongue. So widthwise, not through the center of the tongue, but widthwise on the tongue. That, and by the way, no heat whatsoever. I don't feel anything. I don't know if that's bitter. I don't know if that's oak, but the finish that's going on right now, that's a little luscious, a little more than I expected. Again, with the bready, there is a little bit of spice in there. I think that's kind of interesting because that didn't exist on the nose at all. There is a little bit of spice in there. There's no sting on the tongue, no sting on the lips. But I do feel in that middle part of the tongue, I thought it was almost a bitterness. And now it's just blending very, very nicely. The one thing I will say that doesn't work for me, if I said to you it was thin, would I be making sense?
Yes.
There's a lusciousness or richness that I'm kind of looking for that I don't know if it's there. But there's some nice flavors that are happening. I'll tell you what, I don't want to move it to a cube at all.
No.
Right? Like you feel that if you move this to a cube, it's instant disaster.
Yeah.
It's going to thin right out even more so, and then you're just going to have something kind of very lackluster where there are some flavors here They're nice.
Here's what's interesting for me is, you know, you were enjoying your sample, and I had enjoyed mine, and, you know, the finish, it was 45 seconds to a minute after that, I was getting that cinnamon, almost like there was a little bit of Big Red on the roof of my mouth, and that hit, and then I really started, it was dry. But it's interesting. What I'm worried about is if I put some cool water in it, that's going to up the spice and make it something that I don't want.
Yeah, I felt if we upped the spice, maybe I'd have a more larger complexity that I would go for. Let's be clear about something. This is Green River wheated bourbon, 70% corn, 21% wheat, 9% barley in the Mashville. And I don't think it disappoints. It is sweet. It is smooth. The word I'm looking at is thin. And I think that might be more insulting than what it is, but I don't have a better word. And that's bothering me. The question, Fingers Malloy, is it in your liquor cabinet for $35 a bottle?
See, I'm fine with it. I like it. And at that price point, if I wanted something different, maybe.
Yeah, to quote American Idol, that's a no for me, dogs. it's not that the flavor's bad. It's that neat, it doesn't hit all of my points. But we'll see what happens when we put it on a big rock when we add a little bit of water. Eat, Drink, Smoke, it is your cigar bourbon foodie extravaganza. I'm Tony Katz. That is Fingers Malloy. We are smoking the Hall of Fame by David Ortiz, which comes from Artista Cigars, this Mexican San Andreas, what they refer to as a sweet Indonesian binder and a very powerful filler. And whatever it is that Mexican San Andreas normally delivers, and some of that sweetness, a little bit of that chocolate, I don't get that. There is a largeness here. With spice, there is a bit of to me a kind of a wood that's happening. There's a little touch of chewiness going on. We're really only getting into the second third of this Toro, which is a 6x54. They have now this is a special edition. There are only 541 boxes, 541 home runs attributed to him during his pro career. This, to me, is not as joyful as some of their other cigars, specifically that Midnight Series and that new one, the Falu, F-A-L-U. This is, for me, starting to play into the full. It really is. And I wonder if I had let this cigar lay down, Fingers, because we got this in Vegas at the cigar show. That was in March. So now it's April and we're smoking it. I think that if this had been when the cigar gets released in July, I think we might have a different product here. So I am jury out on this cigar. The cigar is $16, comes in a box of 10, only 541. I am jury out until I try it again in July. I don't know if this is in my humidor at $16 a stick.
I think that's a fair assessment because I have had, and again, it's a hand-rolled product, and these things happen. I've had a difficult time keeping this lit. The smoking experience hasn't been the best for me, but we've had plenty of Arista cigars and never had a problem. So I agree with you. You know, on their website, they talk about some of the notes, and I'm getting almost a perfume sweetness off of this. And they describe one of the notes is dried apples. And I'm not seeing that. So I think maybe it would be a good idea to re-evaluate this stick in August.
Right.
You know, and see what we've come up with.
I think that's absolutely the plan because I believe enough in them. I believe enough in Artista Cigars to absolutely go back to the well. And as I stated on some of their other smokes, they're in my humidor.
Yeah.
And I love them. We are drinking from Green River, the wheated bourbon coming in at 90 proof. The mash bill of 70% corn, 21% wheat, 9% barley. And fingers, we're putting it on a cube, aren't we? Or you're putting a little bit of water.
Tony, as you know, I always like to put a couple drops of cool water in mine. You always put yours on the big rock. That's the genuine article right there.
That's it right there.
And I'm as terrified as I can be about doing this when it comes to monkeying with my weeded bourbon. But we do it for Eat, Drink, Smoke Nation.
So it's had these interesting flavors to it. And a weeded bourbon, you know, that comes in at like $35 a bottle, as this does. That's rare stuff. It's a very, very easy price point for a weeded. It certainly had on the nose. It was definitely orchard and a little bit of bready. It almost had a bit of bitter on the palate, with some of that fruit. But the finish, I thought, played very, very well with a little bit of cinnamon going on. But I just thought it was thin. That's all. It's the only word I can come up with. So now that it's on a cube and you've got some water, I fear it's going to thin out further and the flavors I do like are going to get muted. But there's only one way to find out, fingers.
That's
I'm
right.
I'm going first.
You're
going
to go first.
On the big rock, I'm going in.
He's going in, ladies and gentlemen. He's doing what we like to call the Memphis Munch.
Yeah, it got better.
Really?
It got better. The fruit is a little more mellow, but it's a little more combined. I don't know if that is the oak, but it came across a little creamy. That cinnamon is there, back of tongue now.
The cinnamon hit. The cinnamon hit.
It came
you quicker.
Across better. That's stupid.
Oh, he's going in again.
I'm sorry. I knew you were going, but not two of us can't be drinking at the same time. It's radio. I tell you, radio. It's the newest craze sweep in the country. Fingers just added a little bit of water to his. I almost want to think that a little bit of oak just came out. No.
It is amazing how just a couple of drops, because you had it on the rock. It's better on the rock. It brings out.
It's fuller on the rock.
Yeah.
Huh.
It brings out a little bit of the spice for me. It brings
out.
Oh,
yeah.
More
it did bring out the spice. You can actually feel that in the throat right
yeah,
there.
Yeah. And the cinnamon comes out. I feel like the cinnamon comes out quicker with both on with a couple drops of cool water and on the rock. The cinnamon hit me late when we did it neat.
Yeah, Green River for me is better on the rock than it is on neat. A little bit of cream came out. And I think that might be the thing kind of meshing everything together. I don't know. $35. $35 is worth the gamble. I mean, you have to get it and like get some friends over and try it. And try it all the ways. Do three pours for everybody.
Yeah.
A neat, a little bit of water, and a rock.
I think at that price point, it's in my liquor cabinet for something different. And the fact that you can enjoy it neat and enjoy it on a big cube, I just think at that price point, yeah, it's worth it.
And there's a touch of oak starting to come out.
Mm.
Huh. As the kids say, Fingers Malloy. That is, by the way, the Green River Wheated Bourbon. It's time for News of the Week.
Well, really some sad news in the
good
grants.
For you.
Yeah, I know. I'm back to being Johnny Good News here on Eat, Drink, Smoke. Anti-Semitic hate crimes have surged 45% in New York City in 2024, according to the NYPD.
Dude, all over the country. All over the country. It has been a thing. And of course, this week, the massive hateful protests at Columbia University that have caused the NYPD to be called in. But it's no different than what we're seeing in a lot of college campuses, no different than what we're seeing in parts of members of Congress. I got asked a question. And sometimes you get asked a question because you are a thing. I'm Jewish, and somehow I'm supposed to be an expert in the thing. I am no expert in anti-Semitism. The idea that because you are X, you are an expert in Y. If you are Black, you are not an expert in race. If you're Jewish, you're not an expert in the Holocaust. Expertise comes from study. It doesn't come from existence. Experiences come from existence, expertise is something different. And I was asked, was the anti-Semitism always there, or is this a new phenomenon?
That's where I was going to go with this.
Is it?
Yeah. People seem to be more comfortable sharing their hate now than they were 5 years ago. Is it worse, or just people seem to be more comfortable being a bigot?
I'll go on the record with this. The idea that there's somehow more anti-Semitism today than there was 30 years ago, to me, is a laughable proposition. But the problem is that people are categorizing this about Israel and the attack from Hamas and the war, and then, of course, Iran and their attack. And they are putting this in that anti-Semitism bucket. That's not what we're seeing on college campuses. I would argue that what we're seeing on college campuses, Fingers, as we have been studying and documenting and talking about for over a decade, you and I, in our other fields, is what happens when you tell people that America is the problem. And when you tell people that this Marxism concept of oppressed and oppressor is everything. Remember, oppressed and oppressor is nothing more than Karl Marx in the Communist Manifesto talking about the proletariat and the bourgeoisie. And so if you tell kids that America is terrible and certain people are oppressors, well, then they have to be against the oppressor, no matter what reality states.
A rock icon dies. People mourn. Then another rock icon takes the guy who died, takes some of his ashes after he got cremated, and incorporates it into a tattoo. It's a new segment on the show. Cool or ew? It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Fingers Malloy. He's Tony Katz. Find everything we do over at EatDrinkSmokeShow.com. So, Tony.
Yes, Fingers.
Lemmy of Motorhead passed away.
Rest his soul.
2016, I believe, of cancer. So then, I don't know how anyone thinks that this is a good idea or this idea pops in someone's head, but Metallica frontman James Hetfield decided he wanted a tattoo with part of Lemmy's ashes incorporated into the ink. And so now he has a tattoo that he was showing off. It's Ace of Spades on his middle finger with Lemmy's ashes incorporated into the ink. Tony, your thoughts?
No.
This has been Cool or Ew.
Oh, wait, I did it wrong. Oh, sorry. Ask me again.
Tony, Cool or Ew?
Sorry, this isn't okay, even if it's Lemmy. This is no. This is no. N-O, no. It's just weird. And I must admit that I compartmentalize pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And people in my life who have gone have a place in my head. They have a place in my soul. I don't quite understand the desire to mark them on my skin, right? But okay, some people have that desire. Some people like to mark it on their car, you know, in memoriam and all. All right, fine. But there comes a moment where what you're doing is performance. The argument of you could do what you want is one thing. But maybe we should ask ourselves, is that a thing that we should be somehow just turning the other way on? I mean, like, well, they're an adult. They can do what they want. Someone's ashes? I don't. Now, what I'm going to find is, oh, this has been happening throughout history. People have been doing this for the millennia. And I'll be like, well, news to me. Ew.
Yeah. First of all, I have a couple of tattoos.
Wait, a couple?
Yeah, a couple.
You've got the Detroit Lions.
Yes. Bubbles the Lion on one arm.
Lion. What other tattoo do you have? Pull up the back of your shirt.
That's
it's a stamp tramp, isn't it? It's a tramp stamp.
Like you have.
It's a stamp tramp.
I've seen the
lion.
I've got my oldest daughter. Her name on my arm.
I never saw that.
Well, listen, I know a lot of people listening to this show figure I have some sort of beach body where I'm always walking around with my shirt off.
You're not?
No, I try not to. There are certain parts of my chest that haven't seen the sun since the Clinton administration.
Well,
but having said that, so I have had tattoos. I can't imagine going to a tattoo artist and saying, "Listen, I someone who meant a lot to me passed away." And of course, they're thinking what you're thinking. Oh, you're going to get their name tattooed on you or whatever. No, I'm going to take it a step further. I have some of his ashes that I would like incorporated in the ink. It's a little creepy. More than a little creepy. Really, really creepy. And then on top of it, like you said, it seems more performative, right?
It does seem performative. It's just... No, I really miss them. No, I really, really, really miss them. No, I'll show you how much I miss them. They live with me. It's like when Billy Bob Thornton and Angelina Jolie like carried around each other's blood.
Yeah.
In a vial around their neck. It was like, okay. You totally are having sex with each other. Good on you. And then you looked at Billy Bob Thornton. You said, seriously? He landed that. Man. I just got to be rich and weird. That's all you need to be. But no, it was too much. It was silly.
And how do you even get that done? Do you go to a blood bank and say, listen, I need can you top this vial off? I want my wife to wear it.
You get a vial over there at Amazon.
Vials are us.
Yeah. I'll stab you right now. Right? And then you go to a jeweler and say, here's the money. Put it into a pendant. And the jeweler says, right away, Mr. Billy Bob Thornton. Also, how did you do that? With Angelina Jolie. See, the jeweler was related to Norm MacDonald. How'd you make that happen? You must have a lot of money or a huge, can't say it. Can't do it.
No.
Can't do the joke.
Oh, blood in a vial, eh? Yeah. You thought that through, didn't you?
Only because it's Norm.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Norm MacDonald, you know, we didn't mention this last week with O.J. Simpson passing away of cancer. The amount I saw just as many people on social media sharing the news of O.J. Simpson dying, as well as the same amount of people who were just sharing Norm MacDonald jokes of O.J. Simpson.
So
during
Norm
the
MacDonald comic was on Saturday Night Live. Norm MacDonald did jokes about O.J. Simpson being a murderer every week. Every week he did jokes, and they were blistering. And then he hosted, the ESPYs or something like that. And Charles Woodson is in the audience. Charles Woodson, a first defensive player to get the Heisman Trophy. And congratulations to you. And that's something that no one can take away from you. Unless, of course, you murder your wife and a waiter with a knife. And then they can take it away from you.
And the crowd went nuts.
The crowd was like, this isn't happening. I'm not in the room for this. And it was that's good fearless comedy right there. That is commitment to the joke.
It got him fired because one of the executives over at NBC, Don Ohmeyer, was a good friend of OJ's. And his friendship lasted throughout the murder trial and was really on Lorne Michaels about Norm MacDonald telling all of these. It was relentless for 2.5 years. It was like every week there'd be at least one, possibly two OJ jokes. And it ended up costing him his job.
Worth it. Totally. Yeah, I can say that for Norm's career. Totally worth it.
And if you aren't old enough to have seen a lot of this stuff, there is, just get on YouTube, 11 minutes of video straight of OJ jokes from Norm MacDonald on Saturday
17
Night Live.
Seconds at a time. 11 minutes straight. I think we'll get yelled at by the tattoo people, but I'm not down for any part of this.
Are you anti-tattoo? I know not for not necessarily for you, but for other people as well.
No. If people want to do it, they can do it. I admit I don't get it. Right. It's not for me on a personal level. It's not for me on a religious level. But I don't get it. I don't understand the allure. I don't understand.
I'd get 100 more.
Really?
Yeah, I just have so many moles that it's just not good.
Oh my God.
I've got so many moles on my arms, and it just, you don't want to tattoo over a mole. It's no good. No good. It's all over the place.
Can I tell you that for the first time ever, I think you share too much.
Moles?
Yeah,
that's oversharing.
Honestly, I don't like this way that you say the word.
Moles?
Oh, that makes me feel uncomfortable.
Moles, you say?
Yeah, it's not where it's coming back up. It's not.
It's moles, not, moles it's, you say?
Moles. The only thing worse than a mole, getting murdered by OJ.
Or our Norm MacDonald impersonations.
Oh, dude, my Norm is gold. How dare you? In my head, my Norm is exceptional. The Green River Weeded Bourbon, $35 a bottle. Yeah, you're going to buy it to try it. I just, not 100% sure it's in my liquor cabinet. And the David Ortiz Series Hall of Fame, the Hall of Fame by David Ortiz with Artista Cigars. I need to try it again. I think it needs to lay down. It needs a little time to rest. Find everything at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. This is Eat Drink Smoke.
Follow Eat Drink Smoke on social media, on Twitter at Go Eat Drink Smoke, on Facebook, facebook.com/Eat Drink Smoke, and Instagram at Eat Drink Smoke Podcast.